West, and I was visiting with Brother Ray Brooks, who's the president of the school out there, and we got to talking about something, about the fullness of the Lord, the fullness of God in us. And I was drawn back to this scripture in 1 John. And really, after you've been saved, that's the most important thing in your life and in my life. Realizing that is something that we have to contend with, and it's something that takes a long time, I believe, for us to fully accept. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about exercising the fullness we have received. In the first chapter of John, John writes, "And of his fullness, that is the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, have all we received, and grace for grace, unmerited favor." Every one of you sitting here this morning in your speaker who can make the statement, "I'm saved," or "I've been born again," or "I've been converted," any one of you that can make this statement has received the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. And we as human beings are naturally prone to look upon salvation as that which saved us from hell. And it is what saved us from hell. It is what delivered us from the condemnation of God. But God had a much deeper and greater purpose for our lives than just to save us from hell. God actually loves you. And God in his love wants to use you. And he wants to use me. And so often, after we've been saved, we have our salvation. We look upon coming to church and doing things in the church work as a duty, as an obligation, as something that is a burden that we'll get to when we can and then complain about it. But the truth of the matter is, God gives us more grace than we realize. Even after we've been saved, God means for us to exercise the fullness of Christ in us that he gave us when we repented of our sins and trusted Jesus. I think Paul says it as well as it can be said in Colossians 2, 9 and 10. "For in him," that is in Jesus Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye," referring to those born-again believers who were members of the church at Thessalonica, at Colossae, "and ye are complete in him." You have the completeness of Almighty God in you in the person of Jesus Christ. You're in Christ. And Christ is in you, which is the head of all principality and power. You have the power of Almighty God in you, living, alive, never leaving you, never forsaking you. And what God says to us repeatedly after we've been saved, "Now exercise it. Now exercise it. Now exercise it. Now use it. Now do what I saved you to do." And every one of us will have to give an account to God for not exercising it, because we received it. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, spiritually destitute, born totally depraved, separated from God, spiritually dead, and God in his infinite mercy reached down from heaven when we trusted in Christ, as God's Spirit convicted us of sin, have quickened us together with Christ by grace and merited favor. Ye are saved." So you received Christ, the very Spirit of Christ, the very Spirit of God, the fullness of God living in your soul, alive and never leaving nor forsaking you the moment you trusted Jesus Christ. Now God says, exercise what you've received. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I tell you that as surely as I am standing here, that right now in heaven, in the location of the Lord Jesus Christ on the right hand of God the Father, I am in Christ. And I tell you that Christ is in me, and positionally there is a spiritual union between myself and God through Christ Jesus that can never be broken. Knowing that, God says, I want you to exercise that fullness. Why? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his unmerited favor, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God has never had anything but our best interest at heart from the day we were conceived in our mother's womb. God has never had anything but our best interest at heart, and he saved us from hell and eternal damnation in the lake of fire so that we could exercise his spirit living in us and we could amount to something in God's service and one day enjoy the fruits of our labors because they were all produced by Christ whom we received and lived in us, and we merely exercised it by letting Jesus, as he spoke to us through his spirit, tell us which direction to follow through the living word, the Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a pure, unmerited gift. No one ever did anything to earn it except Jesus. Jesus earned it. He bought it. He paid for it. He died for it. He shed the blood. He sacrificed himself. God received his sacrifice, and now God accepts us in Christ, positionally and only in Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But what is this exercising thing? Exercising the fullness we have received. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. You have this. If you have trusted in Christ for your salvation, if you say, I'm saved, you have this. Now, how did you get it? What does God mean for you to do with it? For we are his workmanship. God's workmanship was a spiritual workmanship which he performed on every one of us the moment we repented of what we are, sinners by birth and by nature, and then God gave us the new birth. What is the workmanship of God? He created us in Christ Jesus. The moment that I trusted Jesus, the moment you trusted Jesus, the moment you repented of your sins, the moment you saw the need for salvation and you came to Christ seeking salvation, God performed a spiritual action and he created you in Christ Jesus, and there you positionally remain in heaven and can never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now exercise what you've got. How? He created us into Christ Jesus unto good works. What are good works? That's exercising the fullness of Christ that's in you, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Walk in good works. Why? Because you have the fullness of the Godhead bodily in you. How do you think you're going to account to Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ sitting at the judgment seat? When you arrive there and your record is reviewed, not for heaven or hell, that's settled by the blood of Christ. But how are you going to answer God when your record after you were saved is brought out and you're faced with it, when you had the fullness of God dwelling in you, telling you what you ought to do, letting you know through his word what you must do, and you deliberately and purposely with forethought and intent thought that other things were more important, and you neglected to use the fullness of God that you received at the point of salvation in Christ Jesus? God said we are created unto good works, that we should walk in them. Well, what are good works? That we're supposed to walk in. How do you exercise this? I want to talk about a working walk of a thankless faith. It took me a long time to learn this. I'm still learning it. What do I mean by a thankless faith? That's a mature faith. A thankless faith is a mature faith. Let's go over to Luke 17, 3 through 10, and we're talking about a working walk. Walking through this life doing what God wants. 90% of serving God is attitude. The other 10% is sweat and perspiration. Luke 17, 3 through 10. Take heed to yourselves, Jesus speaking to the first New Testament church, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. No big deal. We've all done that at one time or another. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, assuming 12 hours of daylight in here. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, unless he comes over and hits you with a hammer while you're asleep, and seven times in a day turned again to thee saying, I repent. The first one's easy, isn't it? Lots of times you've forgiven people that have trespassed against you and vice versa. But how about in a single day somebody trespassing against you seven times? Thou shalt forgive him. Yeah. Can you do that? What kind of a reaction, if you had been there when Jesus said that, actually part of that first New Testament church that he organized during his earthly ministry, standing there, and he had told you to do this, what would you have said? I'll tell you what you would have said. What they said. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They were honest with themselves and God. They said, we don't have that kind of faith. Now, a lot of times, people take that, preachers take that, and they say, well, you see, we just don't have that kind of faith. We can't develop that kind of faith. God put that there so we'd realize our own imperfection. Well, God did put it there so we'd realize our own imperfection. But the apostles made a request to the Lord. They said, increase our faith. He said, okay. He said, here's the kind of faith you need. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Usually, this little size of the seed is used. And they say, if you just had that much faith, you could do that. I bow before God and I stand before man and I say, why in the Lord's name would somebody want to come along to a tree and say, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you? What good is that going to do God's cause? How's that going to help God's work? Do you think the Lord really gave that to them so that they could have that kind of faith and do that? It's pointless. So what was his point? He said, you can do the impossible. If you have faith as, that's a simile, like a little mustard seed. A mustard seed is one of the smallest of seeds. You plant it, it produces a very large plant. It draws upon the source of its strength. It has in it a God-given embryo to produce a plant. It feeds upon the ground that God made and produces a plant. It has no power of its own. It only has what God gave it. Now, if you would like to have a mature faith, and you'd like to know what a really mature faith is, and if you as an individual sitting here this morning say, I want to serve God. I want my faith to increase. I want to become the kind of a person God means for me to be. If you really believe that, and if you really want that, I'm going to show you exactly what the Bible says you're supposed to do. And it's difficult. But you see, the Lord didn't stop there. But which of you, having a servant, plowing a feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Do you know what a mature faith really is? It's when you learn what you are. When we learn what we are. We are servants. We're not mighty rulers. We can't even sustain our own lives. We didn't form ourselves in our mother's womb, nor can we actually keep our life past what God wants. A mature faith is a faith that comes when a man in his heart, when a woman in her heart, acknowledges what they are. We are servants. We are servants. We are servants. The point he makes here is, I am God. I am your master. Do you expect me as your master, if you want this kind of faith that you've asked, do I have to mollycoddle you? Do I have to baby you? Do I have to encourage you? Do I have to give you all sorts of motivational factors through the flesh in order to get you to serve me? Or will you just serve me because of who I am? Let me show you why I know that's true. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. We have turned our churches into a society of babbling, imbecilic morons. Mamas and the papas and the little folks too, well, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. What new entertainment can we bring up? What new program can we introduce? How can we motivate, excite, give people enjoyment and thrills as they serve God? How about just serving God because he's God? And how about coming to church and worshiping God just because he's God? And how about doing the things you do for God just because he's God? How about working on the church building just because he's God? How about doing things in the church just because he's God? How about teaching a class just because he's God? How about giving to the church just because he's God? I'll tell you what a mature faith is. It's when you learn to serve your master because he is your master, and somebody doesn't have to mollycoddle you, baby you, oogle you, compliment you, stroke you like a cat to make you purr. A mature faith is when you realize that you're a servant, you've got a job to do, and you're going to do that job because he's God, and he doesn't have to give you every little single solitary blessing you want along the way and every little single entity that you want, or you'll feel like that you're not being thanked sufficiently. Increase our faith. That's what he said. This is how you increase your faith. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. What is a work? What is a good work that we should walk in? We were created in Christ Jesus under good works that we should walk in. Well, what is a good work? It's somebody who just comes in and church and works and serves God because it's a commandment of God, and they do it without thanks, without God having to give them all sorts of wonderful blessings and excitement, without people having to brag on their teaching, without people having to rant and rave about this and that, without people having to pacify them, mollycoddle them, treat them like infantile carnal beings. And they just come to church because God is God, and because they recognize they're a servant, and they do the things that God commanded because he is God, and not because he gives them a mollycoddling and they don't have to be told every time they preach a message,
what a wonderful message that was.
Or they don't have to see 5,000 people coming down an aisle every Sunday before they keep serving God. Show me a man who will serve God in the midst of adversity. Show me a woman who will keep coming to church and doing what God said just because God commanded it, And God doesn't have to thank them with return blessings and make their life just one big happy bumbling experience. And I'll show you somebody that's mature in the faith. Believe me, not very many people are. You wanna do a good work? You wanna have a kind of faith God wants? You want to please God? Then learn to work for God without thanks. Learn to work for God without thanks. Learn to come to church without thanks. Learn to come to worship God without thanks. And just do it because He's your God. But most people won't do that. The church has got to be just exactly like they think it ought to be to suit their own whimsical ideas. People will come to church as servants. But they'll stop coming to church if they aren't servants. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. The first New Testament church asked Jesus, after He had astounded them with this statement, increase our faith. First, He gave them a statement of an impossible situation. And then He told them how that impossible situation could come to exist in their lives. When they realized they didn't have any power. When they realized all the power was in Christ. And they just learned to serve God, to work for God. That's what they were, servants, bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. I'm going to tell you what I am, and I hope you're the same. I am a bought and paid for slave. I was bought and paid for at Calvary by the blood of the most precious man who ever lived, who loved me and gave himself for me. I enjoy being a slave. I enjoy the commandments of God. I enjoy worshiping for the Lord. I've learned what I am. I'm a servant. I'm happy. You don't have to thank me for being your pastor. You don't have to thank me for teaching Sunday school. You don't have to go out of your way to be nice to me. Because I finally figured out what I was. And what I'm trying to do this morning is to help you realize what you are. Because that's the real problem in our churches today. Most people don't want to do what God commanded just because God said it. They want incentives presented to their carnal nature. So their carnal nature will be pacified, and then they'll do it. But I tell you, the Word of God indicates that a mature faith is one that just serves God because God is God, and has the attitude, I'm an unprofitable servant. We have done that which was our duty to do. You can't tell whether I'm telling you the truth in this next statement. But God knows. I am perhaps the most unprofitable servant He ever had. And I admit it. And I would to God I was better than I am. But I have a duty. I have a responsibility. I was saved for a purpose. I was created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that I should walk in them. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm trying to do what my duty is. And God does not have to thank me for it. You ought to be willing to do anything in this church that God wants you to do just because He's God and just because you're His servant. And you ought to be willing to do it without thanks, without mollycoddling, without incentives, without motivation being put on you by the pastor. Our pastors today have become more motivational leaders than they have preachers and teachers of God's Word. And they've learned all sorts of clever ways to motivate and get people to do things by appealing to their carnal nature. I'm not going to appeal to your carnal nature. If you won't do it because the Lord commanded it, and I get you to do it by mollycoddling you and babying you, I haven't done you any favor at all. A mature working faith uses what God gave it to work with in a spirit of thanksgiving for what it received to accomplish it. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Where do we start with all this? Way back here. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. You've received his fullness. But what is a mature working faith? A mature working faith is a thankless faith. You do what you do just because he's God. A mature working faith uses what God gave it to work with in a spirit of thanksgiving for what it received to accomplish. I can't nail two boards together and do a good job. I'm willing to try, but Randall and I built something back here that took a long time, but they finally got rid of it. All of you have talents. Dilberry is an excellent plumber. Jimmy's an excellent electrician. And Johnny is excellent on working with car motors. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've all got abilities. We've all got talents. Where did you receive them? And whose servant are you? God means for you to take what he gave you and use it to accomplish in the church what it can be used for. And here's the important thing. No thanks are required for it, that mature working faith, to continue. There are some people in this church that I don't have to mollycoddle. There are some people in the church that have learned this. I would that God, every one of us would learn it, and having learned it, wouldn't forget it. God doesn't owe us any thanks. We owe God eternal thanks. We owe him everything, and he owes us nothing, and we are servants. You say, well, you make it sound like a pretty glum thing. Listen, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's future, isn't it? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, the rewards for God's servants come after the work is finished. We've got a work to do here. We've got a job to do here. We've got a purpose here. Every one of you that are members of this church are to work and labor here with no thanks from God necessary for it to continue, because by faith you believe that when you leave this life and you come in the presence of Almighty God, that Jesus has chosen to share his inheritance with you. But while we're down here working, while we're down here laboring, by faith, we need to labor with the attitude we are servants. And we need to learn to do what we do without people mollycoddling us and telling us how wonderful we are and doing all the things that make most ministers continue. You don't have to give me a large salary to keep me working. You don't have to compliment me all the time to keep me working. I figured out who I am. I'm not your slave, I'm God's slave. You didn't buy and pay for me with your blood, Jesus did. And working for him is a pleasure. Because a servant doesn't have any power. He just does his duty and waits. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11, 33 through 12. Now look at that. I'm saved. Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Then look at this and see if you agree with it. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Is that not the power of powers? Is that not the King of kings? Is that not the God of gods? Is that not the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily? Do we profess to believe that? Then, my fellow slaves and servants, let's acknowledge what we are. Because in the King James translation, they separated the chapters. But God never separated the epistles and the letters that were written. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Why did I put yellow under 33, 34, 35, and 36, the verses? Because this is a conclusion. He said, since you believe this, I beseech you, brethren, to do something. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, hagiso, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, what is your body? Your body is the outer covering of your soul. It's all that you are. You say, well, you mean that I've got to submit my carnal nature to God? You've got to bring him under control. Listen, when Darrell Berry gets out there and does a plumbing job, it's not the spiritual man in Darrell Berry that's doing the plumbing job. It's all there is of Darrell Berry. And he's got to drag that carnal man down there with him. And the carnal man's got to do a plumbing job here in the church and not get paid for it. And the carnal man's got to come down here, and maybe somebody should be down here helping him, and they're not helping him. And he's got to convince that carnal man that God is worth serving and go ahead and do it anyway. Because he's a slave. Because he's a servant. Serving God is an attitude. It's a process of mind. It's mind, spiritual mind, over carnal mind, controlling carnal mind, and working for God. Now, when God called me to preach, God called me in the spirit to preach. But I've got to drag this fat carnal body around with me and make it do the things that God wants it to do. And when God put you in the church, he put all that you are in the church. If you're a talented teacher, then teach. If you have an ability to minister to other people and comfort them, then do it. If you have money and you can give and you can give it freely and willingly and cheerfully, then do it. God gave you everything you have. Now realize what you are before God and where you got it from and who your master is, and yield to God the things that are God's, which is everything you have that isn't sin. That's the reason our churches are failing today. That's the reason we've had to try to prop up what we believe with all sorts of fanciful programs. I got a lot more to say, but I don't have time to say it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, you've sat here and listened to this morning. I'm just a little short, fat, dumpy fella, and I know that, and I'm just a carnal human being, soul under sin, and I know that, but the one who wrote that isn't. The one who wrote that is the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And he's got one thing in mind, your best interest. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What have I shown you this morning? The word of the Spirit of Almighty God you've seen on this screen. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've shown you, or God has shown you from his word what you are. Now let that transform your mind and walk out of here feeling differently before you came in here. You came in here with a certain attitude and perspective and forethought and idea. Walk out of here with what God says. Walk out of here this morning determined that from henceforth and forevermore, you're going to do what you do for God in this church based on the fact that he's God and you're his servant, and you believe the promises of God. If you'll do that, you'll find some inner peace. You'll find that you can work for God and just be satisfied because you believe that you're God's servant and that's your responsibility. But until you learn that, you don't have a mature faith. You don't know what a mature faith is. That's what a transformation of a mind is. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It's human pride that causes us our problems. I'm a slave. I'm a doulos by biblical definition. I'm a servant. If you know what you are, you can't have a high opinion of yourself. I'm bought and paid for by Christ. Bought off the slave market from under the condemnation of God and out of the grasp of Satan by the power of God in Christ Jesus. How can I think highly of myself when God had to form me? I didn't form myself. When God had to save me and when God has to keep me by his power, how can I think highly of myself? You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you're not a bad speaker. Where did I get the ability? You say, well, you're where did I get the ability? From God. I'm nothing. He's everything. And the same is true of every one of you sitting here this morning. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God gave it all to us, even gave us the ability to have faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. This is a local visible body of Jesus Christ assembled together in a local visible place to accomplish the purposes of God. For those of you who weren't here on Friday night, Wednesday night, I wish you had been. Because that's what this is all about. So we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of another. Every one of you has certain natural talents and ability that God gave you in your mother's womb. All of these things cover that. All of these things are there for a purpose. I'll simply close with this. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, ek psyche, from the soul, as unto the Lord and not unto men. It wasn't anyone except Jesus that bought and paid for you. If I be a slave to the world or to your own carnal nature, be a slave to the Lord. He's the one that owns you. He's the one you're going to have to answer to. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Let me simply close and ask you this. For ye serve the Lord Christ. You can't serve him till you know him. And knowing him involves coming to him to save you from what you are. A helpless, lost sinner. 48 years ago, I sat on the back seat of a Baptist church in Batesville, Arkansas. A helpless, lost sinner. I realized what I was, helpless, lost, separated from God. I simply turned to Christ and asked him to save me from what I was. He did. I'm not helpless anymore. I have a master. He is all my strength. I'm not lost anymore. Jesus lives within me and I will never be lost again. I'm still a sinner. But one day he's going to change even that at the resurrection. You can't serve God. You can't be a servant of God. You can't be a slave of the Lord until you've received Christ. In just a moment, we're going to have a silent prayer. Are you saved? Well, I've got some good news for you. This church can't save you. That's good news. Look at these people. None of them could save themselves. I can't save you. I couldn't save myself. Now, here's the best news of all. You can't save yourself. Why is that good news? You're helpless.
You're going to have to trust someone else. There's nobody else to trust except Jesus. He saves you from what you are. In just a moment, when we have this silent moment of prayer, there are no magic words. The publican merely beat on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said he went down to his house justified. There's no magical sinner's prayer that you can say that will get you saved. You just go to Jesus Christ in your own words and ask him to save you from what you are. Maybe you've been saved a long time, and maybe you've never been baptized. What is a mature faith? It's when you do what God commanded just because he commanded. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You need to be baptized if you're saved, not to be saved, but just because God commanded. That's why. Maybe you've been a member of this church a long time, but I want to ask you this morning, when you came in here and you looked at this on the screen, did you come in here knowing what you were and why you should be serving God and the purpose behind it? Do you have a mature faith? Well, now you know what it is, because the Lord told that first New Testament church, this is the kind of faith that I'm talking about. If you don't have it, maybe this morning you need to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you and to strengthen you, and to let you have that kind of faith, and you need to submit your will to God so that you can have it. As we have this silent moment of prayer, each one of us in our own hearts need to go to the Lord, seeking whatever it is that we like. If you don't have salvation, you need to ask Jesus to save you. If you do have salvation and you've never been baptized, you need in your own heart this morning to ask God to help you do what he wants you to do. And if you're saved and scripturally baptized, a member of one of the Lord's churches, maybe you need to wake up this morning and ask God to forgive you for your attitude, and to help you to realize what you really are before him. Heavenly Father, if someone this morning has asked Jesus to save them, I pray they'll realize that salvation is a matter of trusting him, and by their asking they have received. I pray when this invitation is given for their sake, they'll simply come down the aisle and acknowledging we've trusted Jesus. Lord, whatever is in each heart here this morning, you alone know. I pray for the individual submission of souls to your spirit, including my own, Lord. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, I've shown you God's word. I've shown it on the screen. The main reason I showed it on the screen